I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
And I'm April, sex toy maven, VP of Hot Octopus, and I've dedicated my life to the business of sex. We're two people with a passion for educating and inspiring shame-free conversations about sex and relationships.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back to the Shameless Sex Podcast and back to an episode that we talked about a lot of these pieces in this past episode. Well, maybe a year or two ago with Michelle Renee. So this is a revisit of soft cocks and why we love them. And a little more of like the how to's of how to work with your soft cock, whether it's how to maybe make your soft cock hard, but it's actually more focused on like loving, embracing and having intimacy with a soft cock, whether it be your own or another partner. So this is with Michelle Renee and Erica Leroy. Whether you have a soft cock or maybe you're intimate with someone with a soft cock, there's a lot of good information for
you. I think what inspired this as well were the comments on YouTube.
Oh my God, yeah.
We had so many, and it was nonstop with various folks saying their stance and or their opinions and or their experience.
Most of it was very positive, yes, but curious. There's some specific questions that we are answering here with them today. And, you know, soft cocks, they're a thing regardless of your age. It can happen for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes it happens more than, you know, just for a moment. It can be a long period of time. So really helpful information here. And also that video, by the way, if you want to see on YouTube, and we'll have this video too, but it is, I think, our number one video on YouTube, and yeah, it's very popular.
It's at Shameless Sex Podcast. Those are all of our handles, actually. Yeah, so that one for YouTube. And if you want to find us anywhere else on the meads.
Go learn on the meads.
On the meads.
Oh my God, we're calling it the meads now?
I don't know. I just came up with it right now.
Oh, I like that.
You probably piss some people
off.
So
Gen Z of you.
Oh, yeah. Is it Gen Z?
I don't know. Ah. I don't know. Might be even younger. Okay, everyone, guess what? We're going to be in Los Angeles. Where in Los Angeles are we going to be, Chip?
Hollywood Boulevard.
Ooh, where?
Do you remember Pretty Woman?
Oh, yeah.
Like, everybody comes to Hollywood, has a dream. What's your dream?
Wouldn't that be cool if we were actually on Hollywood Boulevard, like outside, teaching a sex ed worship?
That would be cool. But we're going to be in Hustler,
yeah,
Hollywood,
which is cool too.
It's kind of the quintessential. Their flagship store is there. Yeah. We're at the Hollywood store, which before Larry Flint, you know, rest in power, Larry Flint. Thank you for bringing us Hustler. I adore what Hustler's done.
Yeah.
And do you remember that movie with Courtney Love?
About
that.
Oh, yes.
Remember? I don't remember what it's called.
Larry Flint something.
Larry Flint, yeah. I think it was.
The People versus Larry Flint or something,
yes,
like that.
Yes, that is. Yeah, good, yeah, job.
I don't know why. I don't remember movies ever.
That is impressive.
I probably watched it before I was 15 because I remember all those things.
I haven't seen it in that long as well, but okay. I just thought about him, and he was, I met him before he passed away. Yeah. And I'm stoked that we're teaming up with Hollywood to do some.
You mean Hustler?
Hollywood. We are teaming up with
Hollywood. Hustler Hollywood. Yeah, that's awesome. We're teaming up with the city of Hollywood. Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Hustler Hollywood. I forgot that word.
So we are doing a Shameless Sex mini workshop, and this is part of our book tour. So stay tuned because we will be in many other cities all across the country.
How many minutes? It'll probably be like 20 or 30 minute max.
What's that?
Workshop.
Yeah, the workshop. But we're also giving, like, we're going to walk around the store. It's interactive. It's going to be really fun.
It's also giving people free stuff.
Yes. Well, so first
only
off,
20.
The workshop is free. The event is free. 6 to 8 p.m. on Saturday, March 23rd. This is 2024. And the first 20 people get, what do they get, Chip?
Oh, we're giving some quickie cuffs from Hot Octopus. Ooh. They're amazing. And Uber Lube.
Ooh.
You get Uber Lube. We're teaming up with Hollywood. I just want to keep saying that. Teaming up with Hollywood.
We're just teaming up with Hollywood. Also known as Hustler.
Hustler Hollywood.
The links will be in the show notes. And come and visit us. Come hang out. Come learn. Come play. And get your free stuff.
All you have to do is show up. It's Saturday. Saturday.
In Hollywood.
In Hollywood. But just to make sure. On Hollywood Boulevard. It's Hustler store. There are two stores. So make sure it is the Hollywood Boulevard card store in Los Angeles.
If you go to the wrong store, and we said Hollywood this many times, I'm gonna give you a hug.
The other one is in Hollywood too, though. It's on Sunset, though.
Oh shit!
So don't go to that one.
Don't go to Sunset. They're like, they all go to Sunset now.
I know. Damn it. The links are in the show notes.
Are you ready for a sex question?
No, I'm just really obsessed with this.
Hollywood.
Sex does Hollywood. Okay, yeah, I am ready. I haven't looked at it. I'm not looking at it.
Is it Dollywood or Hollywood?
Dollywood is in...
I know, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. Oh, you were Dolly Parton for the birthday party we went to this last weekend. I was Cher.
I know.
I was Cher, 70s.
You nailed it.
You were Dolly. I was so impressed that you wore short shorts.
Oh, thank you.
Did we get any pictures?
Oh, yeah, a couple. All right, sex question. I have a question about butt plugs. The round base on the butt plug usually ends up feeling very uncomfortable. I know that feeling. I know they make ones that are slim, that fit in between the cheeks, but they aren't necessarily very feminine and attractive. Am I doing something weird, or is it something I have to get used to, or is there an alternative that you could suggest? And so, you know, April and I, we know our butt plugs.
Wait, so I have a question about this question. Do you think that they meet, because you... obviously edit it down. Do they mean the stopper?
The stopper.
Okay, yeah. So not the
neck
part.
It's the part that comes out of the anus, the anus.
Okay. Those are ugly a lot of times.
Yeah, and so they come in all different shapes and sizes, but some of the ones that are like big and round, like a silver dollar or even bigger, I'm like, why is it so big? And why is it so round? And I mean, for some people's cheeks, that might work. And yes, that's very safe. Like, it can't go anywhere.
For those of folks listening that are familiar only with digital currency and not silver dollars.
Oh, sorry.
How big would that be?
It's like the size of one whole Bitcoin.
Smaller than a can of soda, but yes, smaller than one whole Bitcoin.
Sorry, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Gen Z, go look up.
Gen Alpha.
Sorry, Gen Alpha. Wait, Gen Z, is that before us or after
us? Gen Z is after us. Okay. We're millennials.
All right, whatever. I love you all. Go look it up. Go Google the silver dollar. It's like my nipples. That's my areola.
I actually don't know the size of it, but
it's like that. It's like my areola.
Right. Here,
I'll take my top
my
off and then you'll know what I'm talking about.
Not that big.
No, you are like a
quarter.
Nickel. You're a little nickel.
All right, we digress, but yeah. I just wanted to say, because people will be like, what charge is it?
Okay,
is
yes.
It what, a silver dollar?
Yeah, silver dollar.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that 50 cents?
So dollar, silver dollar.
Oh, so it's
$1.
So I don't see. Okay.
Dude.
And mic drop, April.
Anyways,
that's sad.
So what I wanted to say is you are not alone in this. And yes, some of the ones that are more ergonomically shaped maybe aren't super feminine and attractive. And I think there's some really nice ones out there. It just depends on what you're looking for. Also, I want to say this too. Not all butt cheeks are created, not I want to say equal, but it's different. Like, some people have some meaty butt cheeks. So, you know, something resting in between the cheeks could be uncomfortable, whereas someone has, like, I don't know, a little more room in there. Maybe something with a silver dollar or a different shape could fit really well or feel comfortable. So everyone's different. This doesn't apply to everyone. But no, you don't have to get used to the uncomfortable thing. There's so many products on the market that can work for you.
At Pure Pleasure, we used to have the Swarovski crystal one.
Yeah, so they actually did
the booty bling thing?
They did say something about that, and I cut that part out, because you know, we can only say so much. And the booty bling is beautiful. It still is round, but it's not a silver dollar. It's more like a nickel, or like a little, well, you want it thicker than a, like wider than a nickel, like a quarter.
Okay, wait, I don't want to get off topic, but what about the ones with the tails?
So that's a different topic.
I know, but come on, that is awesome.
Yes, if you
I
like
had
tails.
A friend, we both have a mutual friend that had one, and I thought it was like a foxtail.
I just gifted some to someone.
See,
I got them a bunny and
do you have them on Pure Pleasure?
We have certain ones. Yeah. Yeah, totally. If you want them. So they're not. And so we were going to reference for this question. We have on Pure Pleasure's website, we have Shameless Sexes. It was Favs, but now it says Faves category. It's our Shameless Sexes favorite products on purepleasureshop.com. And they have a lot of toys, including butt plugs. We have everything from, like, we love the booty plug. And I know this isn't the feminine one you're talking about, like the pretty feminine one, but the booty plug by Fun Factory. We have the small, medium, and large, and it has the narrow handle, like kind of like more like, not like a pacifier, but like not round. It's more like oval, I guess.
It has the shape, kind of this half moon shape to fit between your cheeks.
Yeah.
And it's all silicone. The ones that we're talking about, well, that I was speaking to, were all metal.
All metal,
which
are
a little bit less.
Well, so the other thing I was going to say about metal, though, is the Enjoy line, the small, medium, large, there's even XL, which is the same kind of like oval shape, and it's very narrow, but but it's all stainless steel.
And so it has a hook or a like, hook. Not like yeah. a little, or like a handle, yeah, like a round handle on the end.
But like a pretty stainless steel handle and it rests between your cheeks really well. And like, I know people have worn those all day. So super comfortable, stays in. And you know, when you look in, it's not like a butt bling, you know, it's not like a Swarovski crystal there, but it's some pretty stainless steel.
They can wear those all day. Like they can
I know people
sit.
Have worn those all
they
day.
They can sit on those.
You can, oh, I've done that. I've sat on one of those.
I can sit on the booty ones.
You could sit on this one sure.
Really?
Oh yeah, for sure. And it has a thin neck and yeah. Those,
what about
those
the
are
foxtail
great.
One?
I have not sat on a foxtail one yet.
I mean, come on. Those are
I think it's great.
So cool.
I don't think it's what this person's talking about.
Okay, well, but I think people out there, if they want to be playful and funny, because I spend my life wanting to be a child all the time. I'm
me
like,
too.
I'm a child.
I'm a 39-year-old child.
Tail coming out of my butt.
I want to be a pony.
Can we add that to the Shameless
Yes,
sex
we can.
Tabs?
Yes, we can add faves now. It's faves.
Okay, good.
So with that said, just go to
Amy's like, April, stay on track.
Stay on track,
shit.
Squirrel. Go to purepleasureshop.com. Check out Shameless Sex Faves. And if you use coupon code SHAMELESSLOVE24, only for the month of March 2024, you get 20% off that whole category. And I also want to plug, intended plug, our book, Shameless Sex, the book, because we talked about anal a lot in there, and especially anal toys. We have a lot of information, and we go beyond plugs. It's like, you know, beads and prostate play and strap-on sex and just anal play with fingers and mouths. So if you have not checked out Shameless Sex, the book, please do.
Yeah, you're right. That book is awesome.
Plug it up.
I'm so proud of us.
Plug it up, Chip. Plug it up.
Okay.
With a tail.
What? So how, until March 31st?
The end of March.
That's awesome. 2024, y'all get that. That's
great. We have
great.
A lot of days in March, extra days.
I want to save money.
I know. Go there and buy some plugs, Chip. Okay, anyway.
If I don't get a foxtail booty plug from you now.
You know who's listening right now?
Who?
Janice
from
Pure Pleasure. She's going to get you a foxtail plug.
Okay.
I think she wants a My Little Pony, Mom. Just saying.
We thanked the people that sent us stuff already.
Oh, for our Amazon thing? Yes. Okay, yeah. Shout outs. Extra thank yous to Matt. Actually, Matt times two. I think he gave us two gifts. Shannon and Sherry for giving us gifts. Podcast gear, travel gear via our Amazon gift list or wish list, I guess. And we don't need to talk too much about it, but we appreciate all the contributions. We're actually using the lights right now. We're using the headphones from you.
Yes. And no need to send the
new box.
Butt plug foxtail.
That's right, from
Janice,
my mom.
Janice is on that. But really, thank you. It feels so great coming to the studio and being like, yay. So thank you.
And the link is in the show notes. If you want to go and support us, but thank you. We love you.
I feel special. Okay.
Before we do the bio, I have a call to action.
Oh, God,
your dog freaked out.
Oh.
Are you a woman who wants to tap into your ultimate pleasure power and feel connected to your sexiest self and gain a community of other amazing, like-minded, open-minded women and save $500 off your dream vacation?
No, that's too good to be true.
What? I mean, come on.
Is it too good to be true?
It's not.
Okay.
Or maybe you're feeling unsexy or like you need more shameless humans in your life. Well, we have something for you.
I completely love all of those things, and we're not giving you anything that is too good to be true.
Nope.
Because we want you that's listening, to come on the Shameless Sex Retreat April 24th through 29th. This is 2024. We're going to be in Tulum, and I love Tulum. It's like the most magical white sand beaches that I've ever seen, and gorgeous turquoise waters. You don't have to do anything other than buy your ticket. Well, first go on shamelesssex.com.
Yeah.
Check out the retreat section and then buy the ticket. Take the ride. Just like, who is the guy from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas? Another quiz for you, Amy. Hunter S. Thompson.
Oh,
I'll just help you out. You're welcome.
With the fly swatter?
Yes.
Fly swatter.
Well, Johnny Depp played him in the movie, but.
Sorry, we won't have any fly swatters for you at this
one. And we won't be in Vegas. But you don't have to do anything except buy the ticket.
Take the ride. And also, like April said, to this week, become a glowing and growing part of the Shameless Sex family. April told you the website, shamelesssex.com. Now, here's the thing. You want to get the discount to get $500 off a king suite. So here's what it is. We have king suites, and it's often designed for two people to share, but this discount for $500 off gives you that room all to yourself. So go to shamelesssex.com, click the weed travel link, and use code KINGSUITE500. And this is for a limited time. This will end in, I believe, 2 weeks. I think it's March 24th. This discount will end or till supplies last. So go get it now.
Also, you do get free sex toys,
ooh,
lube,
ooh,
and you get to make everlasting friendships.
Oh yeah. With us and other people.
With us. I cannot wait. I'm like, I need this so much.
So ready to go.
Every time we've done a retreat, it's been once, but this will be the second
time. I also like
time.
How the people from our last retreat in Costa Rica are scheduling their own reunion retreat. That's awesome.
It's so good. Yeah. So
new family.
Yeah. If you're listening and this resonates with you, even if it doesn't, check it out because you're gonna be stoked.
And lastly,
there's a last one.
We have a scholarship spot available. Oh, only one.
Oh, it's still left? I didn't know. I thought it was gone.
Well, because this also ends on March 24th. We will choose I don't want to say winner, but the person we're selecting for the scholarship. This is for someone who is experiencing financial hardship but wants to come, and it's significantly discounted. So go click on our website.
The last time we had like 20 people apply. So that's amazing. I can't believe that this is still available. Okay, cool. Are you ready for the bio? I'm serious. I'm shocked. Oh my God, I still love her so much. The person that was last.
I know.
You know who you are. Okay, bio. Here we go. Erica Leroy is a certified sexological body worker, human development specialist, and erotic artist and educator. Her life's mission is demystifying the international erectile epidemic, using research-based best practices from multiple disciplines and common sense with a splash of women's intuition. And Michelle Renee is dedicated to helping clients live their most authentic life. Michelle has combined her 8+ years of experience as both a cuddle therapist and a surrogate partner. She's also co-founder of the Embrace Surrogate Partner Resource Group and host of the Intimacy Lab podcast. To learn more, click the links in the show notes or go to softcockweek.com.
All right, everyone, it is interview time, and we are here with two lovely guests. One is a repeat guest, Michelle Renee, and she was on, oh my God, I have the episode written somewhere else. Oh no, there it is, episode 338, Soft Cock Play and Why We Love Them. And this episode did really well, especially on YouTube. It's actually one of our number one watched episodes where people are engaging and asking questions. And so we wanted to do a continuation of that conversation to answer a lot of those questions. And Michelle said, let's bring Erica Leroy on to join us. Erica is a sexological body worker, a somatic sex educator, and knows all about working with folks when it comes to the mind-body connection. And so we're super excited to have you both on our show to do Soft Cocks Round 2. Although, Michelle, will you remind us what you were going to call it? So, what was it?
Oh, somebody said Soft Cock Week 2, Electric Boogaloo. Somebody there fun. Will get it. Yeah. Somebody out in the universe will get it.
Catch. I'm going to have to Google it to figure out how to understand it.
It's a movie. It's a movie reference. Okay. I think it was like House Party.
Oh.
Or I should have looked it up ahead of time.
Yeah.
It's just in my memory base.
It already brings joy to my being when we talk about soft cock. So thank you for the electric boogaloo of soft cock too. Okay, so our listeners already heard a little bit about you both in the intro, but can you please tell us a little bit more about how you got to where you are today in the field of sexuality? Whoever wants to start first. Ooh.
I'll jump in first and then I can kind of explain where Erica comes in. So I started exploring myself after a long-term marriage ended and I had struggles around orgasm, and I found Betty Dodson and just kind of went off and running from there. The short version is I ended up in professional cuddling, thinking I was moving towards being a hands-on sex educator, and found that I was doing a lot of sex education inside of the platonic space of teaching people how to have healthy boundaries and communication. And then turned that into like an expanded container with surrogate partner therapy, where I was able to engage with my clients outside of the platonic realm. And I got a lot of penis owners coming to me and saying, gosh, why isn't my penis staying hard all the time during sex? And I thought, well, that's not the way it's supposed to go. And I just started to make some jokes about maybe we should start a soft cock week. And here we are. And then I met Erica. I started an online peer-to-peer support kind of call for people in the intimacy world. And Erica joined me there. And we just kind of bonded over our mutual love of soft penises and education around them. And so Erica has agreed to come on as our new director this year. Well, I can kind of, I have the energy to start things and not so much the energy to keep them going. And so Erica's our fresh energy and she's so smart.
It's like the opener and the closer. It's a very important team.
Yeah.
It's a menage.
Yeah. Perfect.
Nice. Okay. Well, I'll introduce myself then. So I'm so excited to be taking on from Michelle the momentum of Soft Cock Appreciation Week. When she told me about it, I was like, this is my thing. So I come from many, many decades of being involved in human development and specifically movement education, sensory motor education. I was a classroom teacher working with like remedial sensory motor, neuroatypical children, and really looking at how the mind body works all the way through development. And I've been a licensed massage therapist for years. Really, just this has been my get down. And then in 2011, my fiance at the time, who was 42, African American man, died in his sleep of undiagnosed diabetes.
Ooh.
And in hindsight, the tell was his ED. He had a very specific form of ED that most of our relationship had remediated or cured, right? But this one particular signifier was something that I was aware of, but because I was so tender about not wanting to like discourage what was good that was happening, I left it unsaid. And that particular comorbidity, it's retrograde ejaculation, right? Mm-hmm. So for us, it was like, ooh, it's like Tantra. Like I can stay, like now I can stay hard and I can get hard, but it was very rare for him to be able to ejaculate. Mm-hmm. So with his death and a lot of other things that happened, my life fell apart. And I was like, well, plan B is the sexological bodywork training. I have no memory of when I found it. I just know I was like, this is the next step. And what I found after doing the training was that a lot of people who go into that work are focusing on working either with women or now with like more non-binary or people who are transitioning their genders, and that working with, there's still this big healthcare gap working with cis men. Mm. And so for the last 12 years, I have really devoted myself to helping people understand what is it that the soft penis is telling us from a healthcare perspective, and really then looking at all of the things once we eliminate the medical, then how do we break down what is stress, right? Because it's either medical or stress is sort of the way that the healthcare system does it. So that's what I've been doing. And my bread and butter is masturbation coaching, because I've been in my work as a sexological body worker and now transitioning online. I'm able to take the years of hands-on experience and really help people change the way that they're masturbating from a sports movement choreography viewpoint. Oh. So that's my approach.
So do you do this work online? This is totally personal for me, just because I have a number of penis owning clients that or have in the past that were interested in masturbation coaching, and I'm not trained in that. But so can you do that work online with people?
Absolutely.
Oh, I'll be sending people your way.
Yeah. No, it's actually really fun, and really it works. Like I've been doing this long enough that I have a very like systematic method that kind of, it works.
It works. That's important.
It works. Yeah. It works.
Right. So this is such an engaging topic, because the feedback we've received from episode 338, Amy mentioned it in the beginning, the soft cock play and why we love them. It's our top video on YouTube, and people are really engaged in this conversation. They want to know more, but also we want to address some of these themes with you two as experts, because this is the soft cocks round two version. So we're obviously all, I know, women, right? Vulva owners talking about this topic. So why can you or all of us women be talking about this soft cock play and penis owners' bodies? How the hell do we know anything?
That was like some of the feedback, by the way. People are like,
right, that's
why
some
do
of
you
the
women
feedback.
Get to do
but people are engaging. Exactly.
Well, those were some of my most like palm in the head. Like, why wouldn't we be? Because you're not. I mean, I don't want to generalize the whole internet to say that there's not a lot of men talking about this topic. If I see them talking about it, it's usually a medical professional who's talking about it from a medical like stance. Like, they're not talking about their own story. They're not, it's very much hands off. And even in my world of professionals in the therapy side of it, when I got male body people that were like, I want to support you in Soft Cock Week, I'm like, great. And they're like, can I do it anonymously? Right? People don't want to talk about it. And we're happy to talk about it. So that's why, you know, for me, I'm like, well, somebody has to. Who's doing it? Nobody was doing this before. Well, not to say that this topic was never talked about. We certainly didn't have an appreciation week for it before somebody decided to do it. And it happened to be me.
So the shame too, the shame involved, right? The shame. There's so much shame. Mm-hmm. Penis size and soft cocks. I just wanted to insert myself there.
Right. And circumcision. Penetrate, yes. We got to have the triad. Yeah, we got to do also always circumcision.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's absolutely that. And then what I would add on in terms of like why us is that, you know, we have a history of, you know, there's sex work. And then now we have surrogacy, sexological body work. We're opening the fields to people who are able to work with the arousal system in a lot of different forms. And one of the things that I see really common when I'm working with men is that most men only are able to assess what is going on with their cock based on what it once was. And so there's, you know, that's a challenge. And then they self-report to doctors, and doctors and even physical therapists or physiotherapists, they're not assessing the whole body in an arousal state. Right? You can't really be in a full like seductive arousal state when you're at the doctor's office. So we're trying to problem solve what's going on with the physiology of arousal, but not allowing arousal to happen. And so, you know, the work of surrogate partners, the work of sexological body workers, and I would say also the work of sex workers is actually we're the ones who are like creating a welcoming environment for the penis to actually do what it is meant to do. And we're able, like I have a baseline assessment I do with everybody when they come see me in person, because by doing the same thing over and over, I can then say, oh, well, compared to most men your age, in this moment, in this part of the assessment, I usually see the penis do X, Y, Z. And because yours did, you know, A, B, C, that lets me know maybe you need a diabetes screen, right? Or that lets me know I noticed that that's when I could tell that you popped into your head. What, you know, like there was something that was more like a thought took you out or that. So our ability to talk about men's bodies is because we're hanging out with men's bodies. We're not just like, you know, in its most natural welcomed state.
And I'll add to that, a lot of the men that I know that wanted to do work on their genitals, whether it is masturbation coaching or the softness or hardness of their cock or whatever it is, they actually are not, it's not everyone, so it's a generalization, but from what I've seen, they're actually more interested in working with women. They generally feel more comfortable with it because you might not judge them because you don't have your own cock. Also because homophobia is still very real. So if I work with a man and he touches my penis, am I gay? And so
do you think it's dependent on their orientation or
yes. And the group I'm speaking about are generally straight people. So I don't know, having this conversation with, you know, a gay man, what he would say about this, it's more straight people, but there's just like, there is more openness to it. And I know this from the people I've worked with, asked about this, wanting to do this work. And I said, I can refer you to men or women. And they're like, I want to work with a woman. I have yet to have one person say that they want to work with a man on their cock stuff. And I'm not saying y'all don't exist. So there's plenty of reasons why women are holding this down in this conversation. Uh-huh. We're super grateful for it.
That's interesting though, because I don't know, from a woman's perspective, when we were at a hormone replacement place and a dude was asking me about my period cycles, I was kind of like, wait, what do you know about your fucking period, by the way? Like, or my period. But that's me on the other flip side being like, why would I want to talk to a dude about my cycles? And I feel more comfortable talking to a woman. But maybe on the flip side, like it'd be better about if I wanted to talk about why my pussy wasn't getting turned on or something like that, maybe that would be an interesting like switch to talk to someone that has a penis about my arousal or what's doing. Yeah.
You know, what that brings up for me is I think like what I hear a lot from men, which is always surprising to say this, but is true, is like how hard it is for them. Like my most popular session is called, Are You Curious What It Feels Like to Be the Receptive Partner? right? And that, like, learning how so much of male enculturation is they're supposed to be the penetrators, they're supposed to be the givers, they're supposed to be the doers. And that being able to relax and receive women's affection, touch, seduction is uncomfortable. Right. So actually being, and I think it goes the same way. I've seen women go to male sexological body workers because learning how to relax in the presence of the partner that you want to be able to relax with, right, around, takes practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I think that, and there's room for everyone, you know, all the genders and all the, mm-hmm. the needs. So,
time for a quick break so we can tell you about our carefully chosen sponsors.
Please stay tuned and buy their products because we only tell you about what we love and what we truly believe in, and it helps keep this podcast free to you.
Hey there, shameless foodies. Are you tired of figuring out what you should eat every day like me?
I'm like you. I am so tired of it.
So guess what we figured out? Factor. So you need Factor. It's a total game changer in our lives, and it can be in yours too.
Yes.
Factor has restaurant quality meals that can be ready in 2 minutes.
Actually, I make mine in the oven. Ooh. It takes like 7, but two minutes in the microwave, it's not bad at all.
Minor. There's no prepping. There's no cooking or cleanup. And guess what? Even my partner's teenagers love it. You know how hard it is to please
some
teenagers.
You've reordered how many times now? Like, you're like, I reordered Factor again. I was like, good job.
And they're like, is the Factor here yet? Which is awesome. So I love it. They love it. Everyone loves it. And guess what? We've done the math. Factor's less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious.
I cannot believe that the math works out because the grocery store is costing so much money right now. You know it.
And the lines.
Oh, the lines are terrible. And I just tried the cheesy chicken and broccoli casserole. Mm. It was so good, but it was actually calorie smart. I couldn't believe it. If you want ready-to-eat meals that are chef-crafted, there's 35 different options to choose from. You can have these various add-ons. There's like 60 add-ons. If you want to eat healthy, you want to eat yummy, but you struggle like us, then check out Factor. Head to factormeals.com/chipanddip50 and use code CHIPNDIP50 to get 50% off. That's code CHIPANDIP50 at factormeals.com/chipanddip50 to get 50% off.
Do you know how particular we are when it comes to performance products?
Well, yes, because most of them are garbage.
Yes, they are. So this is why we and our penis-owning partners are huge fans of Joy Mode. Joy Mode features all natural, science-backed supplements for men's performance. And guess what, everyone? There's no shame in upping your performance game. You are good. Why not be great? I do this all the time in life in all different facets of my life. One of my favorite products is their sexual performance booster, which increases blood flow, firmness, stamina, and performance. And right now, you can redefine your intimacy and go to usejoymode.com for 20% off with code SHAMELESS. That's 20% off and free shipping with code SHAMELESS at usejoymode.com.
Have you ever tried those erection pills you can buy at the gas station,
oh,
Amy?
Oh, yeah. No,
I've
bueno.
I've seen them, but I'm a little scared.
My partner thought they were having a heart attack.
Oh, well, there you go. That's why I'm like, no, headaches, nausea. You're like, oh, sexy time killer. But Joy Mode, it equals safe, and it's even assessed in peer-reviewed journals. That's right. My partner, he's great with performance. Joy Mode, it's like a turbocharged sexy vacation for me and for him. Mm-hmm. So if all y'all are listening and you're like, yes, please, go to usejoymode.com/shameless and get 20% off with code SHAMELESS at checkout. That's 20% off and free shipping with code SHAMELESS at usejoymode.com/shameless. Great sex solved naturally.
Well, let's talk about reframing sex, though, because I know that this is something that Shameless Sex we talk about often. It's actually in our book many times, and the importance of reframing sex, and especially when it comes to soft cocks, but also just sex in general. But so this is a two-part, but the first part will just be y'all, and the second part can be like a group effort. So why do you think reframing sex is so important, especially when it comes to soft cocks? And then after that, maybe we can all give our own personal definition of how we personally define, that's a lot of personals, but personal, how we define sex. But y'all start first.
For me, I think we should be redefining sex away from like the sexual escalator. Before we have a soft cock issue in our bedroom, I think one of the people I've talked to talked about the circular model of sex, and he kind of described it as a rotating 70s bed, right? And that we could just pick up little, you know, different sex around the edges of the bed. And I thought, like, that's what my sex looks like. I look at my sex now and it does not look like the escalator of we go to get to the penetrative part of the sex. And like, I'm looking at younger generations and I'm hoping that my son is not the only one in his generation, but as at an 18-year-old, he says to me, Mom, I hope this isn't too much TMI, but he hears me talk about this stuff all the time, right? And he goes, you should know, like, I don't have penetrative sex with my girlfriend. Like, we do all these other things. And I'm like, oh, like, I'm so happy. And it's not from a place of they're trying to avoid pregnancy or things like that. But she is more, she just doesn't want penetrative sex. So like, why can't we expand our definition? Like, take a Joe Court in his term sides, right? Generally, it's been for gay men that don't want to participate in penetrative sex. And Joe Court talked on our Soft Cock Week podcast that we started after I talked to you guys last year. We decided to start a podcast for that week. And we'll talk more about that here in a second. But Joe Court was like, sides can be a term used by anyone. Mm-hmm. We need to normalize all the other areas of our sex and make that all just part of the buffet. So even before you get to having issues around erection in the bedroom, let's mix it up now. Let's reimagine what we could have in sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just took a whole course with him, and I know Eric has an essay with Joe Court a couple of weeks ago, and he's so fascinating. And it was the first time I had ever thought about that, because he's like, I'm a gay man and I am not a top or a bottom. I'm a side, because I don't like to get penetrated and I don't like to penetrate. And he's like, and that's okay. And people have criticized him. The gay community has criticized him over the years to be like, you're not gay. And he's like, oh yes, I am. And
just so you
and
know.
He's like, and then actually Dan Savage loves that, the side. And it like blew up virally as well. So I just want to say, I love him. He's so amazing. So yeah, thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
I would say that the importance of reframing sex is that it gives us, you know, the whole buffet to play with. And I've been, for the last couple of years, I've been taking classes with the theatrical intimacy educators, because I'm super curious about taking what is happening in choreography on sets and in plays, and then applying it into, you know, sex, right? And one of the things that I really like is the framing of sex is intercourse and outer course together, right? That, and that we just let go of foreplay and after play, and we with this focus on penetration, and instead say, you know, there's things that we do with our bodies that are outer course, and there are things that we do with our body that are inner course. And I've had a number of times where with partners where that performance pressure around I am supposed to be hard, you can feel that energy come into the room. And as soon as I say, you know, I'm just super fine with like this being an outer course, but you know, lunch date. I don't need this to be an intercourse lunch date. It's still sex to me. Mm-hmm. Really just removes the pressure.
Totally. Yeah. So for me, I love everything you said about the importance of redefining and how to, you know, define it for yourselves. So for me, and some people are like, how is this sex? But so I'll premise it with this. So I don't want, for me, my definition, I think it's really important for everyone to make their own definition. So I'm not saying this has to be anyone that isn't the four of us, or, you know, obviously it's mine, but not any listener, right? You get to define it for yourself. But for me, if I were to make it just about intercourse and outer course, meaning, and I'm not saying that you're saying that, but I think when people hear that, they're like, okay, it's still genitals, right? So it's either outside of genitals or inside genitals. I have had some very hot erotic sessions fully clothed without touching genitals or even making out. I was just dry humping and like caressing and basically doing all the sexy things. And it was some of the like hottest air quotes sex, but to me it was a sexual experience that I've had in, you know, I mean, when this happened, this is like in my late 20s, which really showed me, or maybe my mid 20s, but really showed me the energetic side to sex. And so that to me was like, oh, so like sex doesn't have to involve genitals. I don't even have to make out with someone to have sex. I can be fully clothed and not even show a nip and still to me feel like I'm having sex. So to me, I would say my definition would be anything that feels highly erotic that my body is engaging with, either with myself or with someone else, right? And so some would say, what was that one that you're just like fantasizing in your mind? So generally it's the use of my body is in use of some sort. It's in movement, it's in motion. Yes, I can like maybe fantasize in my head and have a really great time. I'm not gonna say I just had sex. And also I'll put making out in that, and I'm not gonna say if I made out with someone, I just had sex with them. But it's in the umbrella of sex, which makes it so whenever I meet up with a lover or my partner, and, you know, like, oh, do you want to have sex? I know that they know that I don't categorize sex as always something that has to do with genitals. And so if I'm like, I'm only available to make out right now, we're still being sexual. And that works really well for me and feels very free. What about you, Chip?
Yeah. You know, this is a very complex and I think kind of it's a mind fuck, but not, I don't count that as sex either. So it is because there is so much variety and ways. So I would incorporate it into my brain. So I always thought back in from my teens, my 20s to my 30s, that sex had to be penetration of some sort. And even when I hooked up, back before I had the podcast, but back before I was ever in the world of sex and relationships or sex toys, I was like, well, I've had, you know, I've hooked up with women, but I never considered it sex, right? Why? I have no fucking idea, because to me it was penis, vagina, right? Penis has to be in my vagina. And even the JTTs, I was like, I didn't have sex with them, right?
So loophole.
And that would, so I have my numbers, my list, and I'm like, well, but there's, I could probably triple that list if I really got back to where I am now. I went back and looked at all the folks that I had that ate my pussy, or that I guess got fingered by, or the JTTs that happened. And so it is a little bit of a mind fuckery for me, because I'm like, that's a lot more sex than I thought. So it would be like me, I think of it as I would hope, because I don't consider acts of sexual violence, like that's not sex to me, right? That to me is, that's fucking messed up and not cool. So if it's consensual, there's arousal and pleasure, I guess, in that, then I think for me, that would be sex. Now, if I just gave someone a blowjob and my body wasn't ever touched, that's still sex. That's oral, right? If I gave them, I was online with them and they were masturbating and I was masturbating, to me, I'm just masturbating. So that wouldn't be sex in my brain. Does this all make sense? That's how I think about it. Masturbation is just like something I do on a daily. I'm like, I didn't have sex today. I masturbated. But other people might be like, that's sex. So
and she's like, I had an orgasm. I was touching my genitals. I didn't have
but
sex.
I didn't have any sex.
So, okay, well, let me pick up on that. Can I pick up on that? Because my definition of sex, my personal definition of sex is the time where we allow the body to be in complete wholeness, almost like when we were children, right? So I have children and grandchildren, and there's a period of time in life where like the body just is the whole, and there's no, you know, shame yet around just being in your whole self. And what I see often happens is we have like 90%+ of our waking human existence where our sexual energy, our genitals, our afferent nerves on our genitals have to be turned off, right? We can't walk around turned on. And so, and then sex becomes for a lot of people only about the genitals, right? That's what you were saying. To me, sex is, the way I define it is whenever I create time and space by myself, masturbating, or with partners or partners, where, this is the time where all of me is allowed to be present, right? That I don't have to, like that, it could just be my kissing, it could be all genital focused, but really the invitation is, here's this respite time or this play time to be 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it.
I love that.
Yeah. Michelle,
Do you, you want anything else to add to that? I don't know if you did. Do you have any?
It's not worth it now. I think Erica Erica said enough. I just want to leave it there and be like, yes.
Mic drop.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. I think it's that is so cool. And I want to invite everyone out there to think about their definition of sex, because mm-hmm. it can also be fluid, right? It's something that isn't set in stone, and you don't have to commit to it and get it tattooed on your body. Like, this is what I think sex is. And then think that that's how it is forever, because my definition has changed the more I know, yeah. right? The more that I learn, and the more that I inquire about it within myself, the more that it shifts and changes and becomes something else. So yeah, it's something interesting to ask your partner or mm-hmm. partners out there, because yeah, my fun. Partner, I know he has a totally different version of what sex is. And I'm like, huh? Mm-hmm. He's like, so you totally had, you had sex with that person. I'm like, no. And so it's really interesting. Anyway, so let's move to the next.
That was actually exactly what I was going to say. Okay, was like, cool. I think it only really matters when you're negotiating your relationship agreements. Mm-hmm. I mean, otherwise, I could have sex as a hand caress with the right partner, mm-hmm. right? My surrogate partner therapy colleague, he can touch my hand in a way that I am just like, I think we just had sex in a coffee shop, right? Good. It's all about mm-hmm. however we want to make it. And as long as we're in, that's the consensual part, right? As long mm-hmm. as we're in agreement with the people that it affects, it can be mm-hmm. anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although when we're talking about soft cock, I will add that there's a relational conversation in one's mind that isn't about negotiating with a partner, that when someone is really frustrated with how their penis is performing, that sometimes redefining what sex is really the first step mm-hmm. to creating the space for the cock to be in whatever flow state it needs to be in. So that's a little bit, that's an internal negotiation with the self versus negotiating with a partner.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Time for a quick break to talk about one of our sponsors who just so happens to be our absolute favorite lube, Uberlube. Uberlube is a luxurious silicone lubricant and it enhances intimacy. It's there when you want it and it blends in when you're done with it. So you have control over that lube. It's long lasting and leaves the skin extra velvety. And honestly, y'all, I want it all over my body. Thousands of doctors in the U.S. are recommending Uberlube to their patients. It's body-friendly, less likely to change the pH, and it has vitamin E, so it feels extra moisturizing.
There's a reason why we've been a fan of Uberlube for years. There's no flavor or scent. It's even great for oral sex, everyone. But it's not just great for sex. You can use it for massage, your hair. You can prevent chafing. It even brings out the colors of your beautiful tattoos. And the bottle is absolutely gorgeous. It looks more like a cosmetic, so you can leave it anywhere shamelessly for easy access. Just go to uberlube.com and use the discount code shameless10 to get 10% off and free shipping. Again, that's uberlube.com right now with code shameless10 for 10% off and free shipping. This podcast is also brought to you by OMGS.com. Join over 1 million people who are experiencing more pleasure with OMGS. They take scientific research of thousands of vulva owners showing techniques to pleasure that pussy. They turn this research into tasteful, educational short videos, animated modules, and infographics. OMGS is for anyone who wants to learn about vulva pleasure or take it to the next level. Want to take your orgasms from good to out of this world? Then check out OMGS. Or if you're a vulva lover and want to up your pussy pleasuring skills, then you need to check out OMGS.
I've personally been recommending OMGS to my clients for years, and it's completely changed their lives. They have three seasons: external pleasure, internal pleasure, and sex toys. It's not a subscription service, and you don't need to download a thing. OMGS also makes a fabulous gift, and your purchase supports more pleasure research. So just go to omgs.com/shameless to get 10% off right now. Again, that's omgs.com/shameless to receive 10% off unlimited access towards enhancing your pleasure power. The link is in the episode's description.
That was all great. I love this conversation. And let's bring it to the first episode. It had some great high level overviews of soft cock appreciation, which we're doing. We're tapping into that again. Now we want the nitty gritty of tips and techniques for soft cocks. And this is very important. What have you found both encourages blood flow
and increases pleasure and fun. Fun is good too.
This is Erica's world. This is why we love her. She knows this stuff so much better than I do. I'm like, oh, wow, Erica, I'm learning so much from you.
Erica's world.
Okay. All right. So first of all, I'm going to give you the things that I just give to everybody that seem to work. So number one is it's really helpful to understand the three cylinders that make up the penis. And in particular, one of the things that I see with people who have penises and their partners is that they don't understand that there is almost an equal amount of cylinder, right? So you know what I mean by the cylinder. There's the two cavernosa and the spongiosa. And that there's the equivalent amount of that inside the pelvis as there is hanging on the outside. Mm-hmm. So often what I see is that in masturbation, especially, there's a lot of emphasis on trying to draw the blood kind of quickly into what's external. And especially over time, you know, we sit a lot more as humans than we used to, right? And the pelvis, and then men, especially as they're aging and they get into andropause and they get that like a little bit more of a belly, or if they've been in sports and then their body changes, that internal cock can get compressed. And so one of the things that I see is that if you imagine like the full cylinder system, if the internal cock isn't filling, then you may be able to get a temporary erection, but you might not be able to maintain it because that hardness is sitting on top of a lack of structure. Mm-hmm. So one of the first things that I always have people do when we're exploring, you know, is hardness possible, right? Because for some people it isn't. But if the first step is more hardness than you currently have possible? And I often start with just like, when you are sitting in a chair, can you bring your awareness down into that space between your testicles and your asshole, that perineal space? And just by moving in the chair, can you start to feel where those cavernosa and spongiosa caverns are and start to notice? And you can do some Kegel-y types of exercises, but really it just begins with, can you feel it? I always show people like look at a diagram of what that looks like so that you have an internal picture, and then play more in that area first. Don't just start whipping it out and like whipping it around and go into your go-to stuff. Like actually try to build blood flow from the bottom up because it's spongy tissue that's in there. So we want the thicker and richer the blood is in the sponge that holds the penis up. And then we can move that blood through the rest of the spongy tissue. But if that isn't there, then you're not going to have much fill or longevity with the fill. So that's number one. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah,
totally. Okay, good. All right. Number two is really having like a transitioning, welcoming energy, right? So I think in your last podcast, the three of you talked about like caging a cock, right? Mm-hmm. The cock cages and saying like, you can't get hard, and how sexy that is. I see that we're like, most cocks are caged all the time, right? That they're like in some underwear, shoved to the side, kind of like, you know, a little bit off kilter, off center. I think of it like, you know, if you had your left arm kind of in a like this all week, and then you're like, okay, now like make a free throw.
Fist pump.
Right. You know, like you can't, like now you're supposed to be able to function. So first thing, or like a caged, or I think of it like a crate trained dog, right? That some when you take the penis out of the pants for the, you know, and are like, hey, it's time for you. Some have like, you know, rapid fire ejaculation, like a puppy that's been waiting to pee all day for you to get home. And it's like, ah, I'm out of the crate. And others, the dog is like, I don't really want to go for a walk. I've actually gotten pretty accustomed. So having an understanding, because there's a lot of focus for the penis around like you're supposed to be hard right away. really having a playful, inviting energy that's like, hey, I mean, I literally, when I'm with a cock, I'm like, hi, like I'll do all my eye contact with the person and then I'll just be like, hey, to the cock, right? Hi, how are you? You know, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Like, let me, you know, let me warm you up. Let's play. Oh, you know, I know you've been having to deal with this busy mind, you know, in this person, but like here, this is your time. So, you know, whether that's masturbating or with a partner, just having that little extra moment. And then the main thing is masturbate, masturbate, masturbate the way you want to fuck, right? Mm-hmm. So what I see so often is that the pattern of masturbation is a pattern that was discovered on their own at some point in life, and then it doesn't match to the actual movements that the body needs to do for blood flow and nerve sensation to be maximal in partnered activity. So what that looks like is I usually have people, you know, remember great sex that they've had, visualize having great sex, and then just talking about like positions, right? And really building out positions. And I'll ask people like, okay, how do you masturbate? Oh, I masturbate in a chair. Okay, so when in partnered sex, would you be sitting in a chair, right? Oh,
sometimes,
sitting in a chair.
Often. Yeah.
Not often, not often. So then we look at, all right, well, maybe you'd be receiving a blowjob. So what would you do? What would you do with your hand to most simulate the sensation of a mouth on you, right? Let this, so you start to train one hand to be the mouth, be the pussy, be the ass, whatever it, you know, or be the hand, and really either, and start to match the stroking patterns. So when are you stroking? You're the only time that stroking really happens in real sex is generally with woman on top. Right. Then you're getting, so then we're looking at what are the positions where women are on top and visualizing that as you're doing it versus if you're penetrating, keeping your hands still or relatively still and thrusting in. Right. And that when you start to actually, I mean, this is just sensory motor integration, right? When you start to actually match the visualization to the motor activity, using also like breath and sound and bringing your whole body in, we start to change the wiring for, and this is, you know, performance gets a bad rap in sex, but like what we know from sports is performance is flow state. Performance is that place where the body and the mind, you know, are working together and you're not looking at it from the outside and freaking out. And that's what we want. We want that kind of performance in sexual activity as well. So that's the what I see a lot with soft cock is that the torso is acting like it's bound in with the back and the belly, and that the hips are not free, right? So I always encourage people to do a little like Latin dance or put on some soul and R&B or something that gets you to open the hip up so that because what we want is we want the penis to feel like, I like to say like the fish hook of the spine, right? That the penis is sort of the extension of the spine versus this thing that's hanging off the front of the body. And that can help as well. And be careful of visualizing non-cock focused activities when you're masturbating or when you're fantasizing. So I see a lot of men, and maybe Michelle, you have this too, who because of soft cock really love to give oral. Like they are just that, like that just brings them so much pleasure. And that's wonderful. But then when they come up with a partner and they want to be able to have penetrative sex, we notice that what they're thinking about when they're masturbating is how much they love eating pussy. And I'm like, well, that's not helping your cock. We need to be imagining your cock involved in what it is that you want to be successful for. And then finally, like, don't stop after ejaculating. Right. That's sort of like a big one is that a lot of men, you know, they think that when the ejaculation is done, sex is over. But there's so much, like once the hardness is gone, all of that rich nerve tissue can really have, that's where I see men really getting to be multi-orgasmic and they're like in shock, right? But that's, we all know that from like our clit, right? And from being able to touch our labia and all these other parts of our bodies. So not giving up, but really allowing the ebb and flow that is part of the blood piece to be maximized. Like I like, and I don't know if, are you familiar with the erectile hardness scale?
I don't think so.
Okay, so this is trippy. This is, you want to talk about mind fuckery for people with a penis. So this is an actual image that is given in doctor's offices that says that like the way that there's four stages of erectile hardness that you're supposed to measure yourself against. So it's a cucumber is you're okay.
They're all different.
A Persian cucumber or yeah, what kind of cucumber?
Yeah.
I think English? Just your regular, I think your regular waxy green, like, organic. You know, GMO, not even organic, right?
Okay.
Like
a really hard cucumber.
So, okay. A really hard cucumber.
Okay. So a cucumber is the gold standard of erections, right? And then the three others are suboptimal. And the three others going from cucumber to banana with a peel, like banana fully peeled, to banana unpeeled.
That sounds wrong. I'm gonna the way that visualizes to me, it's banana that's not been peeled, uh-huh. and then a peeled
yes,
banana.
Then a peeled okay, banana. Got it, yes, got yes. It, okay. So cucumber, banana not peeled, right? So banana yeah. that
like okay. a green then, one, like a green unripened one.
Well, nope, that, right. No, right. Still ripe, but not as ripe as apparently, again, this is the picture. Okay, the picture yeah. now has, it's partially, it's only halfway peeled, right? Okay. So it's like a circumcised banana, right? So it's, then you have banana that is the fruit. And then the fourth is tofu, a block of tofu.
Just jumped right to tofu?
We're talking about the not firm tofu either, right? I'm sure.
Right, we're talking about...
I'm getting right. really into the details, but I'm like, I want to see the tofu yeah. now.
Right. So first of all, I just want to say, you know, and maybe I speak for all of us or maybe I don't, but I can fuck all of those things.
Yeah, yeah me too.
I'm with you. I'm with you on some tofu.
Right? I can even, I was like, I can fuck tofu.
Yeah, totally. You can grind that tofu.
Right,
real
I can
good.
Grow. All right, exactly. So, but that's like the measurement, and that can again. How do you even judge where you are, and what is the onus then on like seeing that actually? Because what they say is cucumber is it, and then everything else is there's something wrong, mm-hmm. as opposed to there's a flow that the penis goes through from tofu through bananas to cucumber and back from cucumber through bananas to tofu.
It's like hard cocks for kindergartners.
Well, and it also makes everyone think that what they need, you know, that what they need all the time is, you know, is a cucumber.
Yeah.
And we know that that isn't the case.
It's gonna just make like anybody that's like hates tofu out there or like I've never eaten tofu. If there's like dudes listening, like how firm is tofu? They're gonna go out and buy like a container of it and be like, oh man,
can I
don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Can like, I be wag?
I don't
beef?
Think it's accurate. Yeah, or like some seitan
Jello. Uh-huh. I want Jello right. seitan. I love everything that you shared in the you know masturbate the way that you want to fuck, right? I think is really helpful for all kinds of people, and it brought to mind for me when people are like, well, how do I, you know, go down on a woman, right? Like, how do I do oral sex on a woman? It's like, well, you know, if you touch a woman with your hands, are you feeling confident in that? Is that working with your partners? Like, yeah, I'm like, just mimic that with your mouth. It's just these parts that are, you know, fingers can become tongues or lips.
Yeah.
And so it's just like reframing the minds, hence the theme of reframing, to think beyond, especially what we saw in porn, and like, okay, but what's really working? What's really happening? Or what am I wanting to happen? And how do I make my movements, actions, and then bring my mm-hmm. body into that in a way that that follows through yep. with what I'm desiring? So yeah, I really like that reframe. I think that's really, really helpful.
Good. And I'd add, I shared this with Michelle the other day, but you know, that all that I just described, sort of the onus is on the person with the penis. And one of the things, you know, because again, I train, my masturbation is, you know, a couple times, just like any routine, right? A couple times a week is, you know, just like for fun and pleasure. And a couple times a week is for training. Oh, I know I'm going to fuck this person on Saturday. This is what I want to be able to do. I need to be able to be on top and sustain. So I better get on top of a dildo and like ride the shit out of it a couple times during this week. Otherwise, my thighs are going to burn out too fast on Saturday, right? So, and one of the things that's changed for me because of having more partners and being more sensitive now to soft cock is I have now added into my toy arsenal packers. Mm-hmm. I have an uncircumcised packer and a circumcised packer, and I play with those in place of dildos, or I'll start by playing with a packer and then I'll move into something that's a little bit firmer, depending again on who am I imagining that I'm going to be having sex with and what do I know about their cock.
I love that.
And that that's, really helps that because then I'm hanging out with that softer penis shape and feeling like, oh, when I, you know, I can tap it on my clit, I can rub it like this, I can, you know, stuff just if I squeeze the bottom, I get just like that nice bulbous tip, and I can rub the tip in that first inch of opening where I have all that clitoral nerve ending. Mm-hmm. So learning for myself, not with the expectation of already being with my partner's body, but using a packer to kind of just get more comfortable with, oh my gosh, there's so much here in my body that's responsive to the soft banana tofu texture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love using the head of the cock to rub on my pussy. And I swear the softer the cock, the better for it because it has more versatility. So here, praise of the soft cocks. Okay, so we want to move forward to another comment that we received in the YouTubes. Yes, I add an S to that. That's what I do. So this is from someone, and this isn't not their exact wording in this. I think we actually received this from multiple people that this has been narrowed down to. State, I can enjoy a soft cock for hours, but the moment frustration enters the space, it's an arousal killer. What do I do?
Yeah. Oh, I had a client recently that we were working together, and it was lovely connection. We were cuddling, everything was great. And then we started doing body image work. So we got naked. And then everything in the room was directed at, why isn't my dick hard? Everything. I felt it. He felt it. He didn't have to say anything. It's there. And I said, oh, do you notice that? Like, I'm not even enjoying this cuddling with you anymore because I can tell all the energy is focused on why isn't my dick hard? Mm. And it just zaps all the loveliness out of the space. And so, yeah, I think that we have to be mindful of the energy that we come into play space with. Keep it clean. Keep your, like, you've got to really think of like positive feelings about the person you're with. If you're thinking about your penis in a negative context, everybody's going to feel it. And that just sucks the oxygen and the erection and my erection, my vulva erection is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. I would add to that. I like to think of it from the neurochemical point of view too. So I'm a big proponent of oxytocin. And oxytocin is an energy, you know, it's the trust, love, bond hormone. So when I was saying earlier about, you know, an inviting, welcoming energy that I bring to the cock in the first place, you know, that what I'm really doing is I'm building up my oxytocin, my happiness, my connectivity, because we know that adrenaline and cortisol are just boner killers for everybody. They're just arousal killers. And frustration, right? Frustration is like, you can feel it. It's a cortisol adrenaline energy, as opposed to, I always say the antidote of anxiety is curiosity, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're just switching the cortisol over to a serotonin dopamine type of system. And the thing that people don't understand, and why there are two things about oxytocin that are so important in relationship to this question. One is, there are, just like cannabinoid receptors, there are oxytocin receptors all over the body. And in particular, there's oxytocin receptors around the tunica albuginea, which is the like the sheath around those three cylinders. And so if that's tight, then it's going to be very hard for you to get hard, right? Because the sheath, even if you're engorging, the sheath isn't expanding, right? But oxytocin is there are receptors for oxytocin in that sheath. So the more that we stay relaxed, the more that we, oxytocin is released through warm eye contact, warm voice, soothing touch, all the things that we do to help a tantruming child relax. It's the same thing. That's oxytocin kind of helping the body to downregulate. So having more moving frustration to, you know, being able to laugh at ourselves too. Oh, you know, here we are. I recently had this with a partner where he's been having some health issues and wasn't getting hard enough in his mind. And I was totally fine. I was like, I'll fuck whatever you have here. I'll play with whatever. But the energy of his own disappointment with his cock made it so I just had to kind of say quietly to his cock, like, sorry, dude, but like brain is just, you've just totally cock blocked yourself today. I'm, you know, not much I can do here.
Yeah.
Well, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? It just continues the snowball effect there, right? It's like if you're not in that space, it goes back to like the talk about sports and being good at sports and using our imagination, like if we use our imagination to practice. I went to a weird sports camp in like seventh grade. It was so woo-woo. I'm surprised, like we didn't have that term back then, but I was in seventh grade and I went to this camp and most of the camp was visualizing free throws, right? They give you like a picture of a hoop, put it in front of your, like on the wall at your bed, you're staying in the dorms. And it was like at night, you're supposed to do 100 free throws and you would hit every one of them in your imagination, right? Mm-hmm. It's like that creates the momentum. And if you're walking in with like, wonder what my dick is going to do, or, oh, here we go again. It's not hard again. Why is this always happening to me? That stuff is not going to be conducive to a positive experience for anybody, which is why I always take the, in my work, I take the stance of trying to help people be comfortable with whatever shows up in the space, where Erica definitely has more of a game plan of like, let's break this down into boot camp style. I can help you change some of your habits, where I'm more like, I can be happy with whatever. And I want you to be comfortable with whatever shows up. So it's like, either way, we've got to be on the positive side of this, is if we have a negative self-talk about this, it's just going to permeate into our experience.
And that's the next question I have. Thank you. Because what I'm hearing from both of you, and this is a bit rhetorical, but it's important to highlight and bring up, is that, yes, granted, if you're going into the space and you're a penis owner and you're in your head about what your penis is performing like, that is an issue. However, on the flip side as well, we get a lot of questions about this. And especially with the soft cock episode round one, people are like, okay, I'm not in my head. I'm feeling good in my, you know, my body with my penis. But what do I do if my partner doesn't want to be a part of the problem solving for my soft cock? And you both have been like, I can play with whatever, and that's okay. However, not everyone is like that. So what are folks to do if that isn't the case?
Erica.
Erica,
we've been kind of talking about this the other day, and I feel like I have a lot of questions in that space of how is this relationship working for you, right? That's what comes up for me. But Erica, do you have a better answer?
I think it's really helpful. I mean, this goes back, let me just say, to what we were just talking about, which is sometimes that frustration energy is like, people don't want to stop. Like we, like I can get it. Even me, like, is it me? Am I doing, like as the partner, is it me? Am I doing something wrong? Maybe you don't find me attractive, blah, 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 blah. Like that's real too. Like, you know, what goes on in our minds when we confront a soft penis, like that we're just, I mean, and we can go back to like, you know, one of the things that is tricky is that porn doesn't often show a soft penis going from soft to hard. We see it already hard, or we don't see people playing, having sex with a soft penis. So we don't have a lot of living representations of what it is we can do. So, you know, so that's one piece, is I think, you know, as a partner, learning the anatomy and physiology, looking at some YouTube videos together. Like when I work with people where their partner doesn't want to be involved, you know, generally we're talking about it first and foremost as a health issue. right? That if you've made a vow, you know, in sickness and health, then maybe breaking down some of what sex is, again, the reframing, to this is about being healthy. I'm a big proponent of the Harvard prostate cancer study, that basically the end result of the study is men who ejaculate 21 times a month, which is quite a bit, especially as you get older, have a 30% lower incidence of prostate cancer around the age where most men are predicted to get prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. So I like to just give a lot of sort of medical facts around why keeping a penis healthy is important, mm-hmm. and give partners the opportunity to reframe and rethink that and maybe feel like they do want to come along for the ride. But if they don't, then we need to de-shame masturbation. We need to give people this information. When I was saying about oxytocin, there's another study that oxytocin levels after ejaculation go up to, I have it here, between 20 and 360% higher than your normal baseline. So like when you're feeling depressed or not, you know, feeling anxious, afraid, depressed, like actually ejaculating, having, which you don't have to have a hard penis to do, mm-hmm. right? And we ejaculate too. Mm-hmm. We can ejaculate dry or wet, mm-hmm. too. That's increasing our like trust, love, bond hormone. And like, I can handle, you know, the world. So that's a little bit of an aside. But Michelle, why don't you pick up there?
Yeah. I mean, I've had people come to me and it's like, My partner said, just you take care of it. This is uh-huh. your problem, mm-hmm. right? And the first question is, what are the parameters that your partner is willing to let you take to take care of that issue? Is this a matter of stepping outside of your relationship agreements to take care of this issue? Mm-hmm. How is that going to backfire on you? And that's why I say, how's this relationship working out for you? Mm-hmm. Because this is all a team sport. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah, you could maybe, you know, reach out to Erica and do some masturbation coaching to see if that helps you with your partnered sex erections, right? But like, some people are going to be like, well, that's you cheated on me. You just were on camera with someone with your dick out. I don't know. Like, there's this like, I don't want to help you, but you shouldn't actually go out and get the help. I feel that frustration with the people that were making those comments in the comment section, because I feel it from the professional side too, is like, you're kind of damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Mm-hmm. So I kind of look at like, is this a time to consider like, how is this going for you? Mm-hmm. Is this, I'm sure that's not the only place in your relationship where they're just taking a hands-off approach.
Totally. And I think so. We just want to reiterate here or state that we're not telling people if you're unhappy, go and leave your partnership or, you know, go and have an affair or whatever. And I think what we're discussing is that mentality of this is your problem. You deal with it. It invites in all kinds of isolating experiences that might affect mm-hmm. connection and the relationship.
Amy and I get criticized a bit from certain people sometimes that just okay. are trolling. They're like, you're telling me to leave my partner. They're telling
me to have or be non-monogamous.
Us, you know, cheat yeah. and be non-monogamous. And we're like, no, we're not saying that.
Not at all. No.
Saying, yeah. Hey, what else no. is going on? Yeah. We're not telling you no. to kick someone to the curb
no.
or leave your partner because they're not wanting to problem solve with you.
And
just
I think
to be clear,
the word partner to me states we are, like you said, Michelle, like we're a team, right? And so yes, you know, if April's my partner and she breaks her ankle, my ankle's not broken and we're separate humans, yet that is something that is going to greatly affect my life and her life, and I love her, and so I obviously am going to do what I can to tend to her or make it, you know, within my limitations. So, you know, if my partner is having some sort of issue in the sexual world and we are sexual people together, to a certain degree, because I'm in this partnership. Now, if this is just casual sex, maybe it would be different, but still, we're also advocating for, even in casual sex, we can show up with partners and help them, not like we're their healers, but help heal their shame by decreasing shame, by not giving more shame, by creating more acceptance. So this applies to if you've been together for 10 years or just last night, you know, you have one night with them, you have a way that you can show up in a way that could be really life-changing for them and will result in better feelings for you. We know we have to end soup. So I want this last piece is really important. Then we also need to talk about soft cock week, but the part about medical stuff, right? So what about soft cocks as a symptom of prostate issues, cancer, diabetes? We know there are pills, there's pumps, there's prosthetics, there's injections. As you said, when you started this episode, we know all about the medical stuff. And usually that's kind of the go-to, especially in the Western medical world. But what are some of the more practical DIY options available to people that are not all those other things I listed?
Well, I think that what I learned through last year's Soft Cock Week, we talked to a pelvic floor therapist. A lot of people just don't know what their options are when they're coming into these life events. One thing I learned was like there's prehab for prostate cancer surgery, right? When they go in and take out the prostate, there are things that you could be doing ahead of time to better prepare your body for those things. And medical world isn't talking about that. Mm-hmm. Erica and I talk about the fact that the medical world doesn't want to talk about the pleasure end. They want to talk about just like, I don't remember, what was the word that we used, Erica? Like the utility or...
Yeah, and pain. Yeah. It's very pain-centered, right? It's pain and problem and not pleasure, mm-hmm. right? That, you know, that the medical world tries to get you to neutral, but then... working on pleasure isn't really that they're very
uncomfortable. It's just like the performance, right? It's like the performance. Right. How are you performing?
Yeah.
Right. Not about your pleasure, but right. Are you able to get hard or not? Mm-hmm.
And I think with the medical, you know, part of, I mean, I go to a lot of prostate cancer patient conferences, and where I get frustrated is the prehab and rehab generally is the recommendation is the pump, right? And that the pump is still not as effective as masturbating. And I think that, again, because if we just, you know, if we just break down that masturbation as a movement activity, that sex is, that sexual function is a movement activity that you want to be using, just like going for a run, you want to have good breath, you want to have good oxygen, you want to have your blood flow, you want to kind of get everything working. And why the medical system is afraid to talk about that, you know, is beyond me, because
they make less money if you're just, you know, taking matters into your own hands and not buying the fancy pills and
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
So, and that's not all people in the medical world. I know plenty of people in the medical world who have specialized in the field of sexuality who are not that. They're like, we want to find the DIY things that you can do at home that are not about prescriptions and pumps and injections. We are still living in a culture that's very quick to go that route. Right. And I think that a lot of people also want that route, that the quick, fast, give me the pill, because it feels like less work or backed by doctors, as opposed to like, okay, let's develop a healthy, air quotes again here for that one, but masturbation practice, where you're learning more about your body. You are learning like what happens, what do I need to do with my body to promote more blood flow? And it isn't just this like overnight one and done thing. Yet that's the one that is completely sustainable, like that you can do forever and ever. And as your body changes, you can change that practice with your body, right? Like the little blue pill might not work anymore at some point.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's lots of people, like I would say the majority of people who I see who, you know, the pills don't work for them. They have really terrible side effects. And so then what is their, you know, as another option? And there are, you know, there's a lot of information out there about things that are herbal or changes in your diet. And ultimately what we know, you know, is penis health, prostate health, and heart health and brain health are all the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. If you follow a heart healthy diet, you don't need to take extra other penis oriented things. You know, nitric oxide, we know, really helps get blood flow. Nitric oxide is done, you know, you get that moving with like nasal humming. So when you're having sex, if you start to lose some of your erection, just make sure you're going, that feels good. yes. Right. And get that, you know, get that blood flowing. When we take all the shame away from masturbating, and we just look at it as prehab, rehab, you know, preventative care, remediative care. Then also for those for whom they do have something like diabetes or cancer or, heart disease, where it may just be that their penis isn't going to ever be the way it once was. And that is a hard thing for the mind. This is what I know. This is what I've always known. For what I see is for a lot of people, especially people with penises, once they have penetrative sex, a lot of people stop masturbating because masturbation is a less than activity. right? Or like what Michelle was saying, that their partner shames them if that's what they're doing. So again, just thinking about how to reframe so that what you're doing, it's just part of your exercise practice. It's just part of your well-being practice. And the science is there to support that. And then the more, just like me with the Packer, right? The more that you're willing to play with something that isn't ever going to be what was, you're going to discover through your curiosity, you know, what might be. And I will say that the people that I meet who no longer have any erectile function because of medical issues are the men that I meet who have the most phenomenal full body, multiple orgasmic sex.
Which is,
because by taking, because by taking the driving force of cock, you know, out of the equation, everything else is like, I've been waiting for my turn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your whole body is available for that.
Also, remember out there that there's also things that aren't diabetes or heart problems, like SSRIs can affect your cock hardness and the erectile tissue. And also, some of these medications that are for, like Viagra and Cialis, and then some of the other ones that are for erectile support, let's say, those can interfere with or be dangerous sometimes to use with other prescriptions together. So you have to be really careful with the mixology of that and consult your doctor about the pharmacy part of it, right? Because none of us here are prescribing medications. So always ask your doctor about that end. And even some of these supplements that are over the counter, they're I call them the dick pills that you can buy at like sex shops. Those go in and out of frequency because some of them have, things that can also affect other medications. Mm-hmm. So you do have to be really careful about this. And we have to wrap things up, which I'm bummed about. I just wanted to make sure that that was a point because folks will get confused or sometimes they think we are doctors. And I'm like, look, we all are educators and your doctor is going to know best with what medications won't interact with each other in a negative way on yourself. So know that. And then, let's talk about not only Soft Cock Week, because we definitely need to hear more about that, but also how people can find both of you, how they can work with you and support the surrogate partner therapy. And then also please let us know more about Soft Cock Week.
Well, Soft Cock Week is coming back in 2024. I should have had the date out. It is November 10th through 16th of 2024 will be Soft Cock Week for this year, Soft Cock Appreciation Week. We're going to really push the appreciation part this year. And last year, I got a whim because this is how everything starts in my life. And I decided I wanted to focus on a podcast just for the week of Soft Cock Week. We had a different episode every day of that week. But Erica wants to take this on and make it a more regular show.
Ooh.
So that is the thing that we will be launching probably around 6 months out from Soft Cock Appreciation Week in November. And so I know Erica's going to be looking for people that want to come on and talk about their own personal experience. So the men in the comment section that say, why are women always talking about this? Here's an invitation to reach out to us at softcockweek.com. to send us your ideas around those podcast episodes. And also if you want to be a participant in those podcast episodes.
Assuming they could be anonymous if they want to.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I assume that's going to be a big
take
requirement.
A pseudonym.
Yeah.
You could be like my pseudonym is, I don't know, cuckoo ka-cha.
Hello, cuckoo ka-cha. Tell us about your cock. Thank you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Erica's got a lot of excitement around Soft Cock Week, and I'm just delighted to have her kind of taking the helm here.
And then how can people find you and work with you, Michelle, first? And then Erica, sorry to interrupt you, Erica.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure people knew that.
I'm based in San Diego, and you can always find me at meetmichellerenee.com, and I'm at social media at meetmichellerenee. I'm doing surrogate partner work and cuddle therapy, human connection work, but I'm mainly focused now on the platonic side of the work. Made some self-discoveries around asexuality this last year. It's been kind of exciting. So, or scary. That's a whole other episode. But I still can help people in these spaces, but it's more from a learning to like appreciate what you have going on and loving yourself and building up from the foundation more so than the mechanics. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to start, I'm going to go for twice a month. the podcast, trying to do a specialist and then more of a call in or, you know, send in your questions and answers. So we're, you know, definitely looking for people who have both that level of expertise around what's going on with soft cock, and then also people who, you know, have need or want ideas as well as, you know, share their own experiences. We had talked about, do we need to change the name as soft cock to In People's Faces? But we've decided that no, actually, again, you know, we need to talk about this. It is, for some people, it can be life or death. So we're going to keep this going because we're going to be doing the podcast as more than just the 1 week a year. We're reframing this as Soft Cock Appreciation Week is any time of the year. Take a penetration vacation.
Yeah, right?
Just take a week long penetration vacation and explore what the body, you know, can do without it being penetrative. Mm-hmm. So
where can
and then,
folks write if they want to participate in this to the podcast? Can they write to you or okay?
Yes, they'll write to us. You can go to softcockweek.com, the website, and all the information is there to submit things to us. And then we will have in November again a week long experience. And I'm really visioning that. It was really lovely. Some of the panel discussions that we had, some of the more interactive webinars and things like that. So putting some things together that have a little bit more of that workshop-y panel community building vibe for that week. So we're also looking for other sex educators and people who might want to put something together as a, you know, as an online workshop.
And then what if people want to work with you personally, Erica?
Yes. So if people want to work with me personally, you can always email me at info@creativebodyrelease.com. Or I'm always switching up like what I'm offering at the time. I'm still a back page girl at heart, even though I don't use it anymore, but I like the flexibility. So you can find me at flowcode.com/page/creativebodyrelease.com. And that will always have kind of the new things that I'm offering.
And we'll put all these links in the show notes so y'all don't have to remember to. So go and support Soft Cock Week. And I just also wanted to say, I love the Soft Cock Week theme. And just so we're, you know, we're shameless sex, right? But to be SEO friendly or like not get banned on Instagram, we're like, damn it, we should have been shameless intimacy, which is bullshit because intimacy can be so much
shameless
more than
or, pleasure.
Like I can be intimate with April without having sex. But so I was like, hey, how about just, this is so ridiculous, please don't do this, but Soft Cucumber Week.
I think we're talking tofu.
Tofu.
Soft tofu week.
We're making quite the smoothie over here.
All the
cucumbers, bananas, and tofu.
It's going to get a lot of various foodies. Oops, that will be looking for your soft tofu.
I thought this was a foodie experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, this is always so insightful when we hang out with the folks that are these professionals. And I do always consider it the Embrace Foundation folks, right? And Embrace Foundation is still very, very relevant. So
Erica's like, Michelle's like, yeah, I'm Embrace.
If folks want to know more, we're going to let Michelle talk a little bit more. We've talked about this before, but this is such a relevant and wonderful organization. I do want Michelle to highlight that before we bid adieu.
Yes, Embrace Surrogate Partner Resource Group. We have got some great new offerings that you guys talked to Lou Hansen last summer, or Sam Filippo, taking your name back.
Sam Filippo. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have now started client information sessions. So if people are out there and they're thinking about doing surrogate partner therapy as a modality for their own healing journey, we now have monthly information sessions they can sign up for to get a bigger like education around what are they actually signing up for, because it's such a misunderstood modality. We're also starting some groups for clinicians that are working in surrogate partner therapy to get a collaborative space to talk about the work with other clinicians, like to bring cases to say, hey, I'm working with a surrogate. This is what's coming up in our work. We're almost to that nonprofit status. We're still plugging away at getting that wrapped up. But I think we have like attorney meetings happening like next week or something that's like right around the corner to be filed. It's just a great space to talk about surrogate partner therapy, which is, we should probably remind people, it's where you work with your therapist, your talk therapist, around intimacy issues, physical or emotional intimacy issues, and you're kind of getting stuck in that. You're running losing traction of like working these things out in real life. You're not getting into a relationship or things aren't happening the way that you wanted them to happen. We bring in this professional, the surrogate partner, to start to recreate some of these relational dynamics so that you can work out what's happening in real life and not just the talk part, but what's happening in your body. What happens when you're in an intimate space with another person? What's going on in your mind that's showing up or happening with your body? And it just gives another level of information for the talk therapist to help you really kind of connect the dots. Yeah. So we're really excited. We're over at embracespt.org.
Yeah, we're very passionate about supporting Embrace. Yeah. Not, we always say foundation.
Yeah, well, it is kind of a foundation organization. So
I'm a nonprofit.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Erica, for being here. You. And thank you to all of our Shameless Sex listeners. Remember, we have a book also called Shameless Sex, sold anywhere books are sold. Please, if you've purchased a book, review us because we need more reviews. It just helps more people find Shameless Sex. Review us if you haven't done so on your podcast platform of preference. 5 stars are preferred, and we need to get like 30, you know, every 30 will help our raise our stars and reviews, because people will leave really shit or slash lame reviews, like with one word or something that is totally not relevant. So we need the people that do love us and listen. There's a lot of you. We need your help. So remember that. And we will be here every single Tuesday, like we have for the last almost 7 years, y'all. Damn. So we are here to serve you and to help you be your best version of your most pleasurable self. And that's all I have for you, or all of us have for you. It's not just me here. And we will see you next Tuesday. Ciao for now.
Ciao.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code ShamelessSex at purepleasureshop.com.